praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord and all of his hosts. Thank you, thank you, thank you all near and far for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on this station. I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 36 plus years, none other than in the person of...
Hey, man, I'm Lady Mildred Townsend.
And together we bring to you the Moments of Inspiration Intercessory Ministry, which can be heard on this station every Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. Again, to all of our brothers and sisters out there, we have been praying for you. We've been calling out, amen, your name. And those of you who we don't know your name, the Holy Spirit knows your name. We have been calling out and feverishly asking the Lord to meet you where you are, to give you the strength, the courage, the stamina, and the determination to keep on keeping on. Because one thing about it, God knows exactly what we are going through. In many cases, God has bragged on us and said that my servant, my son, my daughter, they are going to stand this test. They're going to keep on going because I've invested too much in them. Praise be to God. My son and daughter, yes, yes. There's nothing common among people today. Whatever you're going through, trust me, somebody else has already gone through it. And yes, it hurts. Yes, it just seems like it's unbearable. But you know what? It's the same thing that when Jesus turned his back on his son, that was unbearable. Praise be to God. It was unbearable for him to lack fellowship with his son for that time while he was hanging on that cross. And all the sins of the world were placed on him. Think about how agonizing that was for Jesus to cry out and said, "My Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think about that. And in spite of what we went through, anything that you and I could ever go through is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, went through for us. On that note, I'm going to ask my wife, if she so kindly will, to share a scripture, and then we're going to go before the throne of grace in prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Coming out of the book of Luke, amen, St. Luke, the 21st chapter and the 26th verse. And it reads as this: men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things
yes.
which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven
yes.
shall be shaken.
Yes.
Father, we thank you today.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for the reminder of your word. Oh, God,
yes.
that we will find ourselves not troubled, not fearful,
oh,
but
yes.
believing you.
Hallelujah.
But for so many that have turned their backs on you.
Yes,
so many
yes.
that have started in the race and stopped.
Oh, yes.
God, we're praying for them today. If you will lift them up today, God, and let them see clearly that you're soon to come back. Oh, God, and you're coming back for a people without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
God, I want to be those that you're coming back for.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God,
thank you, Jesus.
And every day that my heart will be pure toward the things of you in the mighty name of Jesus. We're praying for all that are discomfort today. We're
yes,
praying for all
yes.
that are in mourning. God, we're praying for your people that need you right now.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
God, we live in a time where there's so many things going on.
Yes,
the world
Lord.
Has really turned their back on you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, the faithful few that are holding up the bloodstained banner,
yes,
we pray
Lord.
A triple blessing on them. Strength, hallelujah, encouragement. Oh, God, determination
yes,
to stand.
Lord.
Hallelujah, glory
yes,
to God.
Yes, Father, thank
we
you, Jesus.
Thank you today. We're praying for those. Oh, God, that don't know you today. We're praying for loved ones. We're praying for people
yes,
that we
Lord.
Don't know. Amen.
Yes.
We're calling out the names. Oh, God, that you would just touch them somehow,
Hallelujah.
Some way.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just bless you.
Yes.
In this day, we bless you because there's none like you.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Name. Amen. Amen.
There's a storm out on the ocean,
yes, Lord.
And it's moving,
yes,
this old way, do 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 do. And if your soul's not anchored
well,
in Jesus, you will surely slip away. Did y'all know that? There on, is please. A storm out, yep, on the ocean, and it's moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Let's pick it up a little bit. There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. So what you gonna do? I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. Why you gonna do it? Because there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. Yep, did you know that? See, that's the reason why the Lord is separating the tare from the wheat. Because there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's coming this way. And if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, beloved brothers and sisters, if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, hey, man, I know you got the 401k and you got the profit sharing and you got all of that stuff like that. But can I be honest with you? If your soul is not anchored in Jesus, many people are drifting to the wayside. Many people are falling to the wayside. Many people are giving up. But the Bible tells us the race is not given to the swift, neither the battle given to the strong, but they that endure to the end, they are the ones that shall emerge victoriously. That's why it's imperative for you to know who you are and whose you are in the things of God. Because I'm telling you, the showdown is about to go down. And when we open the Word of God, the Bible tells us that there is a time coming that has never been before in the existence of mankind. And I know many people say, well, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm on the Lord's side. Well, you know what? It's time to put up or shut up, because that's what it's boiling down to right now. We're going to have to pretty much be like Job and prove our loyalty to the things of God. It's easy to say, I love you when everything is going fine. It's easy to say, I care when everything is going fine. But get just a little bit of trouble and see how long folks will labor with you when you get in a little trouble. Just see how long that they are willing to suffer long with you when a little things get a little uneasy for them. And that's the reason why, amen, we've got to stay affixed to the things of God, because our adversary, your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, watch this, seeking whom he may devour. And he don't care about how long you've been going to church. He don't care about how much tithes and offering you give. He doesn't care about, amen, if the preacher or the pastor is your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. He don't care about any of that. He's looking for somebody that he can devour. And he's looking to see those that are not prayed up, those that are not fasted up, those that are not staying affixed to the things of God, and primarily those that have allowed the cares of this world to overtake them more so than staying astute in the things that God has spoken about, Lady Townsend. That's where we are now.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. I said, that's so true, Bishop. We got to be affixed on the things of God. Amen. The moment that we find ourselves being distracted,
it's
the time that the enemy can come in.
Absolutely.
Amen. He'll rear his head.
Absolutely.
Amen. But we allowed him because of the distraction.
Yes.
Amen. We put the blame back on ourselves.
Yes.
We already know the trick of the enemy. We're not dumb. We're not ignorant to his devices.
That's right.
We must stay on the alert.
Have to. If we don't, you know, that's what he thrives on. And I liken this to, as a person who sees bus drivers out there all the time, you know, it's mandatory that when a bus comes up to a railroad crossing that they have to stop, whether there is a train coming or not. That's mandatory. It's being put in their subliminal understanding. It becomes subliminal to them that they have to stop. And you know what? It becomes so primary in their mind. If there's any bus drivers out there listening to me right now, they will tell you, even when they stop driving the bus, because it has become a part of their psychological and their subconscious mind frame, even when they're in their own cars, you know what happened, Lady Townsend? They find themselves stopping at the railroad crossing. Because, because you first make your habits, and then your habits make you. Let me say that again. You first have to make your habits. You have to consciously put effort into those things. Well, think about when you put effort into pleasing God. Think about when you put effort into reading your word. Think about when you put effort into fasting and praying. You first make your habits, and then as time goes on, what's going to happen? Habits make you. You instinctively know. You instinctively know what to do, because it's bred inside of you now. When the enemy comes in like a flood, instinctively you already know that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, no matter what I'm going through. You instinctively know that, because you know what? You have made it a habit to stand on that premise. You've made it a habit to stand on the fact that it matters not what comes up against me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You see, you first had to make that a part of you. And then after you made that a part, now it's making you. That's what it's all about. That's why we have to live so God can use us. Because you never know how God's going to use you. You never know what circumstance or situation. But if you're in the habit of becoming fearful and afraid, then that's what's going to happen, beloved people of God. When you make that habit of saying, I know God can, but it's left up to God now. Sometimes we've got to restructurize what we're saying. We've got to restructurize our thinking and really understand that, is God really pleased with what I'm thinking or how I'm talking or what am I thinking about? Listen, it matters not what I go through. I know that God's word said it already exists. Healing for me already exists. Financial blessings for me already exist. Did you hear what I'm saying? My family being saved, it already exists. But again, how much emphasis am I putting on it? Am I going out on a limb instead of just praying for my children for God to save them or deliver them? How much time am I spending going up to that son or that daughter and saying, son, God's got use for you. Daughter, God's got use for you. And watch this. Just as quick as I can say, I'm going to be a Holy Ghost millionaire. God going to send me millions of dollars, and I'm telling you, I'm going to be rich. Why don't we put that energy into the salvation of our children? Well, Bishop Townsend, it's left up to God to do it. Well, you don't feel that way about your $1 million. You become animated when it comes to the $1 million. You become animated when it comes to the prosperity and the money. And yet we've got sons and daughters that the enemy has got them out there in drugs and prostitution and stuff and that. And then we just sit back haphazardly and say, well, they in God's hand. So is your pocket, but you're more adamant about your pocket than you are your children. Don't let the enemy, we're going to entitle this broadcast today, don't let the enemy trick you out of your trophy, Lady Townsend, because a lot of saints are getting tricked out of the inheritance that God got for them, and that inheritance is not primarily based on tangible or materialistic things. I got a question for you. If God told you right now, Lady Townsend, that he would give you $10 billion, but all of your children had to go to hell, or he could keep the $10 billion. I think let's make a deal. Like they had a little TV show, let's make a deal. Or you can trade it for what's behind door number two. I'm going to save all your children. Or you can trade it behind door number two, which could be something more than all your children being saved. You know, we like to play games with God.
Unfortunately, Bishop, some will stop and say they're taking money.
Lord,
because the love of money,
Lord,
is the root of all
evil. Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's... People think, you know, money is just, it's sad. it's sad that that is the psyche of so many people today. That's their mindset.
Absolutely.
They believe money is everything.
No, money is not everything. And when it comes to our family, as I said before, if the Lord, and again, I said this once before, money is a good thing to have. And nobody can hate on money. But when you understand that you belong to the Lord and you know that the cattle on the thousand hill belong to him, then it's already mine. Why do I have to chase for what's already mine? Think about that for a moment. If victory shall be mine, why am I chasing after victory? If peace shall be mine, why am I chasing after peace? If joy is mine, why am I chasing? It's already mine. Think about that for a moment. The enemy has got us tricked in so many ways, and if we're not careful, many of us are getting tricked out of our trophy. But, you know, when you stand on the premise of who God is and you know that you're living so God can use you, that in itself is wealth.
When but you know, have to die to flesh, Bishop. So many people are still in the flesh, and they are looking, you know, for flesh for all the fulfillment within. But, you know, there's no way that we can live this life out of the will of God and
no.
expect to be in his wholesome will. We have to deny this flesh in order to go to the next level. This flesh, there's nothing good in this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This flesh want to sin day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
This flesh will sin day in and day out
mm-hmm.
unless you bring it under. So we have to deal with this flesh. There's no way that we can go against the will of God and thinking we're in his will and God is okay with it. No, we have to deal with it.
As we said earlier, you first make your habits. When prayer becomes a habit, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. When fasting becomes a habit, it doesn't matter where you are. When being true to God becomes a habit, it doesn't matter where you are. You don't change your circumstances. Remember this, Paul and Silas were in jail. They weren't able to get to the temple, but they didn't let them stop them because we make the excuses about certain circumstances. And when we start to make the excuses about certain circumstances, as again before, it was their habit to praise God. The Bible says what? In all thy ways, acknowledge who? The Lord. When things are going good, I acknowledge the Lord. Amen. When I had pneumonia, guess what was coming out of my mouth? When people said, how you doing, Pastor? How you doing? I pray you're feeling better. I said, I'm doing so good. I could hardly talk. Speaking whore, I'm doing so good till if it gets any better, I may have to take something for it. Why is that? Because I first made the habit, and then the habit made me. This too shall pass. I mean, my voice was tore, but you know what? Once you make the habit, it doesn't matter where you are. You know that God has got you. You're just playing the waiting game for your faith to catch up with what God's word already said. It's already done. It's already done. And this is what we've got to get the people back in the frame of mind of thinking that it's already done. Father, I brought nothing in this world. I'm not going to take anything out. Yes, it hurts when I lose a loved one. And then again, I have to understand the terminology of what lose means. Now, if my sons or daughters or mother and father did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I've lost them. Yes, I have. Let's be truthful. Because you know, Lady Townsend, we want to put everybody in heaven these days. You know it. We done shot up folks.
Okay.
We done killed them. We done murdered folks. And then after they die, you know,
they're in a better place.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Are they really in a better place? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, sometimes, you know, we've become so sensitive until we're afraid to tell the truth. And the thing about it is the new hate crime is truth now. When you tell the truth, oh, that's being
right.
hateful.
All right.
That's the new hate crime now. Don't tell the truth.
And the bad thing about this, Bishop, the sad thing about this is that's why a lot of people are going to be lost because they think they're all right anyhow. They think they can keep sinning and God going to, you know, accept them anyhow. You know, but we got to work out our soul salvation. You know, we got to work it out daily. Praise God.
The Bible says with fear and trembling. That's right. That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And for us to not tell others and warn them according to the word of God.
Yes.
Either we're called or not. Amen. We all ought to be called to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to help somebody.
Yes.
See
yes.
a more excellent way.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. That's the way God wants us to be. And if I can't tell you the truth, not to just win you over for myself. I want to win you to Christ. And winning you to Christ means that, you know what, you got to live to please him. You don't have to live to please Bishop Townsend. I don't want you to live to please me. I don't want you to put on a facade or a masquerade to try to emotionalize me and to make me think this, that, and other. Because at the end of the day, I can't fool God. You can't fool God. Can't none of us fool the Lord. None of us. But when I tell a person to live to please God, that doesn't make me exempt either. Because I know a lot of time us preachers think that just because we're preachers and you know what, we're men of God too, and God sent us. But you know what? We have a higher responsibility on our life. And that's a truth that nobody wants to relate to either. We have a much more excellent way to present the things that God had, because this is the reason why he said, I'll give you pastors after my heart. What is God's heart? God's heart is righteousness. God's heart is holy. God's way is pure. God's way is solemn. God's way is of loyalty and dedication. That's what God wants to give us. People that are dedicated enough to tell us the truth, even when it hurts. And watch this. And tell on themselves when they are in dire trouble so that they don't contaminate the sheepfold themselves. That's a pastor after God's own heart. A pastor like David that said, only against thee have I sinned, O Lord. But hold not your anger against these innocent sheep. They have not done anything. It's my fault. That's the kind of shepherd that God is looking for. Somebody that is going to tell the truth on themselves, not blame the inadequacies on somebody else. You know, Lady Townsend, one of the biggest falsehoods in today's society, since the beginning of time, and I've heard this, and I've refuted that lie, and I've cast it down from the time that I was a little child. You know what they say the downfall of every man is, Lady Townsend?
God is a woman.
That's the lie they tell. They will lie and say the downfall of every man. History affords us the opportunity to go back in time and to see how many men have fallen and lost their kingdoms because of a woman. But I got news for you. Every man fell because of his lust for a woman. The angels, the watchers that fell, lost grace with God because of their lust for women. It wasn't the woman's fault. See, when you know who you are in the things of God, can't nobody tell you anything. And you will never go along to get along, because you know what? The power of the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth and righteousness. It has never been a woman's fault. Let's clear the air. I'm advocating for you sisters out there today. I'm advocating for you because it's never been your fault. Well, many men been enticed by one. Well, look at Herod. When Herod killed John the Baptist, it was because of a woman. No, brother. No, sister. It was because of his sexual lust to see the gyrating and the movement of a young girl's body. Lust. That was the downfall. When King David saw Bathsheba, it wasn't the pretty woman that messed him up. It was his what? Come on, say it with me. Say it with me.
Hey, man, it's love.
It was his lust that caused him that. It wasn't the woman that caused Adam to be disobedient in the garden. It was his lust to not obey God. See, he had lust in him, because when she presented the fruit to him, if he had not lusted, he would have said, girl, what's wrong with you? Didn't you hear what God told us? Somebody got to get the record straight. Somebody got to tell it straight like a T.I. is. We've been following the lie for too long, and the Holy Ghost came that you might have a right to the tree of life and understand what it's truly about. It's time to quit making excuses for our inadequacies. And I guess this is for the men today, because men love to make the excuse, and we have got to step up to the plate, to our rightful place. Now, that don't excuse the woman either, because she says, yeah, we got all these deadbeat dads, and these dads ain't no good, and they ain't doing right. They ain't taking care of their children. Remember, it takes two to make children. So if you made children with that man, and he didn't even promise to marry you and want to be with you, think about that now. That's the consequences that you choose. That's the consequences that go along with it of having babies with a person that does not think enough to you to say, will you be my wife and will you marry me and let us be a family together in the sight of God. See, we always want to make excuses for the inadequacies, but we've got to stand and tell the truth because I'm here to tell you. The name of this particular message today is don't let the devil trick you out your trophy. David got tricked because of his lust. Samson, think about that. God raised up a deliverer in the midst of the children of Israel, and the problem with Samson was that people say, oh, he was just woman crazy, Bishop. That was the problem. No, he was lust crazy. That was his problem is. And the fallen angels that brought lust down here to this earth has now incorporated it in the women so that they could spread it on to mankind. But thank God for the Holy Ghost today, because the Holy Ghost sets us free from lust if we want to be. Please think that, know this, lust just ain't about sexuality. Why do you think everybody talking about millionaires and stuff like that? That's another form of lust. That's another form of lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All of that is associated with lust. What do you think caused Gehazi to go behind Elisha's back, to go back and get the stuff that that Elisha said, no, I don't want so much as a shoe latch from you. Keep it. And Gehazi, he lusted after that stuff. He lusted after the raiment. He lusted after the change of clothes and this, that, and the other, and went by. Lust is the major factor. It's affecting pastors. It's affecting leaders. It's affecting everybody in today's society. And to the degree where it is, we're not satisfied, or should I say, thankful to God for what we have, but the enemy is causing us to lust for more. We want more members. We want a bigger edifice. We want more of this, more of that. We want more, 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 more. And nobody's saying, give me more of Jesus. Give me more of the Holy Ghost. Give me more dedication and loyalty to the things of God. Give me the ability to where are the people crying out like Moses was? Because Moses had worked for God. He had did wonderful things, Lady Townsend. He worked for him like many of us are working for him. Can I be honest? Many are like Moses. You still don't know the Lord. You still don't know him. You know the miracles. You know how he's blessed you financially, but you don't really know him. And that's what happened with Moses. Yeah, I saw something in the burning bush. And something spoke to me and something told me that I've called you for ministry. I've called you, but you still don't know who he is. And the Bible says that Moses went to God and said, now listen, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory. I've been walking with you all this time, and I really don't know you. It's a sad case, but it's the truth in many of the people of God today. I've heard about the Holy Ghost, and yes, I've heard many people jumping and shouting and speaking in tongues, but I don't know God for myself. I need to know you for myself, so show me your glory. And the next thing God tells Moses is, what you've asked is a hard thing, but he said, there is a place by me. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here in this mountain, and there's a place by me, and I'm going to set you in the cleft of a rock, and when I come by, I want you to get ready, because when you get ready, I'm going to show myself to you, and I'm going to show you the back part of me, because no man can see my face and live. Think about that. And then he walked past. What about us today? I know we go to church, we jump, we shout, we give our tithe, we give our offering, but can you honestly say for yourself that I know God, not based on what the pastor said, not based on what the organization said, not based on what the auxiliary said, but I know if the doors shut down today and we never have service again in that place, I know God for myself. Don't let the devil trick you out of your trophy, people of God. I just shared with you, Lady Townsend, earlier, remember? When we talked about people praying. And a lot of times, prayer is not based upon where we are. Prayer is based upon who we are. And when Saul, Paul, and Silas were not able to go to the temple, they were locked up in stocks and bonds inside of the penitentiary, if you will, the jail. and they had stocks on their necks and hands and feet like common animals. Think about that. And yet, they're still inside of a jailhouse praising God. When the majority of us today would be, Lord, where you at, Jesus? How long are you going to let this go on, Lord? I'm serving you, and here I am locked up in jail. Lord, this ain't right. And yet the Bible tells us to count it all joy. You see how we done fell out? We letting the enemy trick us. Help me out, Lady Townsend.
And as you was talking earlier about the lust, and amen, but the Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. And now you get old folk, like, you know, they done passed their youth, and still, God still wants us to flee it. And if you got to depart from this spirit, because it's, like you said, it's a whole broad thing.
Yes.
But we're talking even in the sexual. We know the sexual lust is just, it's our children, it's on the social media, you know, at the, our little kids, 10, 11, 12 year old, watching all of that stuff. You know, we live in a time now where we must, you know, because the world is pulling them in, Bishop. The world is pulling them in. And our children is being affected. And I tell you, a lot of times things happen in your young age that can really mess you up when you become an adult, a young adult, because of what you've been through. So it behooves us to truly, you know, make it the effort to speak in our children's lives, to let them know right from wrong, and show them right from wrong, so that they won't have to be dealing with something years and years later, praise God. Because the devil don't play fair. He'll mess you up, but the grace of God is still here. And we got to tell them that God is able to deliver. God is able to set free. Amen? But there is none like him nowhere. So we got to continue to put in them that, yes, you might have messed up this or that, but God is able to help you. You cry out to him. Amen? And mostly, if you fall in love with him, that's the thing, more than anything, and then develop a relationship with him.
That's right.
You would not want to displease him in nowhere, Bishop.
I agree.
So you find yourself walking upright before him.
That's right.
Amen? Walking upright before him, doing the things that he commissioned you to do. Amen. Praise God. We got to get back to holiness. Like you said, God is about pureness, holiness. Amen. And it's a good thing to love God. It's a good thing to be in love with Jesus. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Because when we need him, he'll be right there for us. He promised. Praise the Lord. But this stuff in this world, this distraction that the enemy got out here, it's to trip us up. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We got to remind them that. Deal. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. That's what it's all about. And we've got to get to that place where we understand, you know, what it's all about when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to standing on his word, when it comes to being pure to God's word. We've got to stand on that. Until we're willing to do that, we're going to find ourselves being defeated in so many areas. And I said this earlier, that staying true to God will cause us to own up where we are. I think about the scripture that, you know, a lot of times, and what happens is this. We get in a complacent area with the Lord. And when we get in that complacent area with the Lord, we think that everything is just going to function like it once did. As I said before, when God gave Samson the ability to judge Israel, he made a pact with him for him not to disclose the secret of his strength. And because of Samson's lust for women. Now watch this. He just didn't want a woman. It was a certain kind of woman he wanted. She had to be nasty. She had to be deceitful and tricky. I mean, even his mom and dad says, can you not find a wife among our own, you know, our own tribe, our own people like that? Because we got standards. We got values. We got virtues that we stand on. And it was just something that caused Samson to want to digress from that sense of appeal. And he had to go after those Philistines. The Philistines represented the enemy of his soul. You see, sometimes we can't see what's going on. We can't see the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. And since we can't see that spiritual warfare, the enemy is getting the advantage. That's the reason why we have got to rely upon each other. Samson's mom and dad saw where their son was headed to, but you know what? She couldn't make him change his life. David saw where he was going with his own life, and he had to come to some conclusion. Not only that, Lady Thompson, when we go to the book of 1 Kings, guess what we find out? We find out in 1 Kings chapter number 3 where God comes to Solomon and raises him to ascend on the throne of his father. And they have a saying that goes like this, like father, like son. But it's still a choice. It's still a choice. I know we like to say, well, some things are just hereditary. Daddy was holy, so the son's going to be holy too. It's a choice. It's a choice. It doesn't have to be that way. I've seen family of alcoholics, and somebody said, I'm not going to be one. Family of drug addicts, and somebody says, I'm not going to be one. Families of homosexuals and lesbians, and somebody said, no, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to base what my environment is around. Because remember, Joseph went to Egypt, and he was around people that worshiped many other gods. And even though he was sold into slavery, he knew that his Hebraic roots caused him to stand on the true principles of what he had been taught as a child. Good afternoon. God bless you to my brothers and sisters out there. And he stood on that. And even when Potiphar's wife tried to come on to him, what did he do? Did he go for it? Mm-hmm. Did he G for it?
No.
Huh? Well, wait a minute. He's not a Hebrew anymore. He's living as an Egyptian. Why didn't he? Because you first make your habits, and then your habits make you. You first stay true to God, and then God stays true to you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You've made the habit of lifting up the standard of the Lord, and so now when you're faced with a problem or a circumstance and situation, you will know that you won't do that. God promised Abraham that I'm going to make you wealthy. I'm going to make you rich. And when the kings offered him, when he came back from the slaughter of the kings, they told him, take the spoils. You keep that. He said, I won't so much as take a shoe latch from you, lest you say you blessed me. What's wrong, Abraham? I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God to do what he said. If I can sit here and decree and declare that God is going to make me a millionaire, if I can decree and declare that God is going to make me the head and not the tail, I can decree and declare that I shall live in the righteousness of God to please him. I shall live a life that is not of sin and degradation. I shall live a life not making mistakes and seeking to justify. But we become adamant about money. See, if you don't get that habit right, it starts to make you. If you don't get that habit right, it starts to make you. And that's what happened with David. That's what happened with Solomon. The Bible says God came to Solomon in a dream and says, what do you want? And this is what he said. And that's why you have to understand, don't let the devil trick you out of your trophy, because the same thing it took to get God, it takes that same thing to keep God. This is what Solomon said. He said, Lord, give unto thy servant an understanding heart, seeing that I must go about a great people. It's going to take wisdom for me to properly govern your people. Pastor, it don't take no salary for you to govern God's people. It takes wisdom to govern God's people. It doesn't take, I don't care if they gave you a $10,000 increase. If that's not the way God wants things governed, it's doing no good. Grant unto thy servant an understanding heart. Why? Because the kingdom is jacked up. And since the kingdom is jacked up, it's going to take wisdom to help get the kingdom back into proper alignment with the things of God. It's going to take me executing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, fortitude, tenacity, integrity, all of these things I'm going to need. Because you know what? We've been jacked up a long time in the kingdom. And I'm going to need you to give me what I need to get your people right. And look how God responds to him. because you did not ask. These false prophets and leaders got you asking for things that God says already belong to you. Why should I have to ask somebody for something in the fridge? If I bring food home in my refrigerator, don't it look stupid for me to go to say, baby, can I get some milk out the refrigerator? Sweetheart, can I get some cereal? Huh? And I helped to furnish this and put it in there. Yet the false prophets and the false leaders of today got you thinking that you got to ask God for something that already belonged to you. As a matter of fact, sow $14.99, and then listen, God is going to open up doors for you if you just sow your best seed. Why I got to give you something that already belonged to me? Y'all going to get this after a while. Y'all going to get this understanding after a while. You're going to understand that the Holy Ghost wants you to understand that anything any man can promise you is already yours. It's how much emphasis that you're putting on it. Huh? I go to the house and say, Lady Townsend, would you love me? Here's $14.99. Would you love me? You already, man. Listen, you remember when we was young and we had a fight and we had an argument. I don't know if you can remember, but we had a fight and we had an argument, and you said, get your stuff and get out of this house. And I looked at you like you had lost your mind. And then I ran over to you and picked you up and started carrying you, and you said, what are you doing? I said, you my stuff. You belong to me. You don't remember that, do you?
Yeah, I remember that stupid stuff.
Wasn't stupid, baby. That was real. When you told me to pack my stuff and get out, get your stuff and get out of here, I didn't pack my stuff, but I grabbed my stuff because you are mine and I'm yours.
Yeah, I remember that.
Huh? So we don't have to ask for what belonged to us. But see, when you don't understand and you let the enemy trick you, Solomon got tricked. David got tricked. Samson got tricked, huh? And the enemy is using the lust of this world to trick us today. A lust of a bigger church, lust of a bigger car, lust of better clothes, lust of this. And you know what? He's using demons in human flesh to propagate this type of spiritual slavery. Hey, Lady Towns, I got to take a break. Anything you want to share before I take this break?
Yeah, Bishop, when you think about it, many times, you know, you already got, like you said, you already got what God already promised us. We already got it. We already know that it's true. The one that's standing on it, like, for instance, you're waiting on your help. Amen. You already got it because he's been wounded. He was bruised.
That's right.
For our iniquity.
That's right.
He was beaten.
That's right.
He's already done.
That's right.
We really get it like that. And that's why I just thank God for the word. That's why you have to keep studying and study. And the Holy Spirit will let you know more and more as you read it, Bishop. It's already done.
That's right.
And once we get it like that, we won't, you know, thank God. Your deliverance is already here. Amen. You talking about, I've been dealing with this so long. Amen. Ever since I was a child. You don't have to. It's already done. Believe it. Receive what God has done. And thank him each and every day for what he's done.
That's right. That's right, my sister. That's right, my wife. You're absolutely right. Thank God for where you are. Thank him for what you have. Thank him for what's already been afforded. The Bible says God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hey, if you just tuned in, this is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT-KQJO. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this, and that phone line will be open. 318-484-2500 is the number to call out there in Facebook land. You can call in. Listen, if you'd like to call in toll-free, the number is 877-464-2500. Don't you even think about touching that dial. We'll be right back after this. Good afternoon to all of our KAYT listeners. I'm Bishop Penny Townsend. Thank you for keeping your dial set to KAYT-KQJO. Right now, we've got some community. Okay. And right now, we've got Pat.
Didn't mean to do that, y'all. Y'all excuse me just a minute here. Okay, here we go.
City Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
And we are back. This is KAYT. Hey, listen, if you'd like to call in, you can call in now. Yeah, y'all got to get this. Because when Solomon started off right, he started off right. He asked God for the right thing. But see, what happens is there's a danger when we think that because we've been in this way a long time. The Bible says, and Solomon got old, his mind started acting up. He started getting Alzheimer's. He started getting dementia and all of these things started. And then the Bible said he loved strange women. Now, I don't know what God had on his mind at that time, because for the likes of me, I can't see how in the world, Lord, you know what you were doing, but how in the world could you let one man have 1,000 women? And what was the purpose in giving that man 1,000 women when it's hard to take care of one today, but you know what you were doing? But I'm just saying today, I can't see how that could happen. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Bishop Towson and Minister Mildred, I've been enjoying the show. This is Cornelius White from Alexandria, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
But I think it was, just like you said, it was the lust of the heart. And he was looking at all them beautiful women, and he made arrangements with the concubines. And like you said, he had 1,000 of them. I don't see how he can please 1,000 women.
God,
but
right.
He did.
Jesus.
I can barely please one. But not sexually, friend-wise.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look, I want to make a quick announcement, too. I didn't know if you knew this, and this is for all the kids and stuff. At the Alexandria Zoo on Tuesday, it's going to be Kids Night Out. The police and stuff are sponsoring it. It starts at 5 o'clock until. So that's at the Alexandria Zoo. So I hope a lot of kids will come out and meet the police and everything and fire and all like that.
That's great.
Because we need that. We need an exchange between cops and the community so we can all get along.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it is what it is, Brother Kanae. It is what it is, man. We just got to try to open people's understanding as to what it's going to take to stay solid and true to God. And that's what we're trying to do. Too many men are making excuses about the women or the downfall of the men. It ain't women. It's the lust of men's hearts and their spirit. And so those that he can't get the lust after sexuality, he gets them lusting after material stuff. Lust is still lust.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost, brother.
Yes, both,
but we
both
have to
y'all right.
Yeah.
I wanted to say one more thing, too. And prayers for all our people in Florida and South Carolina, because they're going through hell right now.
Yes.
And you've been mentioning all of that stuff. And I just wanted to say, and I know these people are good, Pat Robinson's Operation Blessing, they're sending 18-wheelers down there.
Yes.
Franklin Graham's American Post.
Yes,
they're sending 18-wheelers and stuff. And they all need our help. The Cajun Navy's over there rescuing the people.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the Florida Red Cross. The National Red Cross, I just don't trust them. They've done some things with their money and stuff. But these local, it's always good to give to local organizations. That way you know that the money stays locally.
Yes.
And it doesn't go to the national where they're paying for their expenses and everything and not trying to help people.
Yes.
But anyway,
thank you.
Prayers are a powerful thing.
Yes.
And we need to stay prayed up and stayed up. Just like you said, Paul and Silas in prison, Peter in prison, Jesus in jail.
Yes.
You know, and I prayed when I was in there, but you know, Minister Mildred and Bishop Townsend, when the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Prison, put that piece of rope in, I felt like Job. What I feared has come upon me, and I just melted.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's when I pled guilty, and I should have fought him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be in the same situation I am, broke, busted, and disgusted.
Well, the Lord knows, but, Brother Cornelius. And this too
well,
shall pass. This too gonna pass. This too
oh,
shall
yeah.
pass. This too shall pass. This test is just a testimony.
Yeah, a test and a testimony. But I'm going to tell you something. Years ago, like I told you, Christ put a calling on me, but I decided, well, I'm going to make my own calling. And that's what men do too. Sometimes you're called to do a duty, but then you say, well, I want to do this. And that's part of what happened to me. Instead of the Christ calling, the cops were calling. I love law enforcement.
Yes.
I loved it more than the Lord. And that was wrong.
Yes, sir.
I should love law enforcement more than the Lord.
Yeah.
I should love the Lord first, and then whatever else last.
The thing that you love turned around and whooped your behind. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, though.
The thing that I love with my behind.
Yes, yes. But we still love you. We still love you. We're here to help you bend the wounds, okay?
And you do, and y'all show it.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
The one thing about you two. And y'all are a team.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always seen y'all as a team. I've never seen you separated.
Oh, you ain't gonna
and
see
I like
that. You ain't gonna see that. Listen here. After being look, Cornelius, after being married to this woman 36 years, I'm damaged goods. Ain't nobody else gonna want me. What's wrong with you?
After I heard you say you lifted her up.
Oh, yeah.
I know you lady.
Oh yeah. She said, get your stuff and get out of here, and I just picked up and said, look on. Put me down. Uh-huh, you my stuff. No. It don't work like that. No, you my stuff. No. But you know what? God brought us a long way. But look, let me let this phone call go. Somebody else may want to call, Brother Cornelius. All right.
Love you
too, man.
You.
All right. God bless you. All right, y'all. You can call in. 318-484-2500 is the number to call. All right. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Okay, this is Ronnie Williams, Sr., and I'm calling from Alexandria, Louisiana.
God bless you, Ronnie Williams, Sr. What can we do for you today?
Okay, I've been listening to your radio show out like I do most Saturdays. I listen to y'all. You always have a nice show.
Yes.
And so I listen to it about the how we as men want to put our downfall on women.
Yes.
But if we at an early age, we get out there and we do the things we want to do and mess with all the women.
Yes.
Like this is what the Satan wants us to do, and we get out there and do it. We mess up our own life.
That's right.
So we have no. Then we try to put it on the woman.
That's right.
But as you read your Bible and follow through what God's word says, he tells you what type of woman to find.
That's right. That's right.
And if you don't do what God says, then you reap what you sow.
That's right. Amen.
But like Job does, but Job, see how Job was when his wife told him, just
curse God,
curse God and die.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So we there's a lot of things I've done in life that I wish I would have never done, but like you said, I was lusting behind.
That's right.
A lot of things in life.
That's right, brother.
It was just like the alcohol and the drugs.
That's right.
I mean, I remember when I was coming up as a teenager,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand the taste of alcohol. Couldn't stand it.
Yes, sir.
But after I kept on lusting behind, I kept on trying. So eventually, I got it to go down.
Did you hear what I said earlier in the broadcast? You first make your habits,
yes.
And then your habits make you.
That's right. That's what happened.
That's
I
what happened.
I kept on until I developed a habit. Wow.
That's right.
That was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you, I can't put that on no one.
No.
Nope.
So let's cut to the chase. You free from that now, right?
No.
Oh,
no, I'm not.
Bro, William, we got to pray for you, man. You got to be free from that, brother. You got to be free from that, man. Listen here. Look here. You was batting the hill. You was up on the mountaintop. Now you done fell back down in the valley on me, man. We got to pray for you. If there's cigarettes, if there's alcohol, God want to set you free from all of that, my brother.
Okay. Well, no, you know what? I'm glad you brought this. No, God already have set me free from it all.
All right. Good.
It's been 20 years since I've had any alcohol or drugs.
Praise God.
It's been about seven years since I've smoked any cigarettes or anything.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So God has delivered me from all of that.
Thank you.
So I know prayer works.
Amen. And your determination to want to be free. Amen. The number to call is 318-484-2500. 318-484-2500. I'm calling, telling people out there in social media that want to call.
Okay, but remember to pray. Pray for me and my family when y'all have the word of prayer.
Yes. I tell you what, as a matter of fact, we're going to have prayer at 1400 College Drive starting Monday at 12 o'clock noon. Everybody's invited to come. These are praying times, and we'll be there for about a half hour, but we'd like to extend that invitation. And I don't care whose church you belong to. I don't care who your pastor is or who your prophet is or who your apostle is. You're welcome to come out and pray. And I think that that's what we've got to get back involved in, corporate prayer, you know. Well, our church have prayer, okay. But you're still welcome to come to mine, too, and pray, you know, and pray. Because when a nation is in trouble, it doesn't matter who church you go to.
Right.
When a nation is in trouble. So thank you for the call, Brother Williams. We're going to keep you in prayer, and we're going to pray for all the people in need. And we love you with the love of the Lord, and hopefully we'll get a chance to make your acquaintance one day.
Okay, thank you, Bishop.
All right, my brother, be blessed. All right, y'all, 318-484-2500. Lady Town, do you want to say anything while they contemplating on calling?
Yes, I'm reminded of the late Keith Wonderbar Johnson. I just want to be right. Amen.
Yes.
He passed on yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking, you know, just 50 years young.
Yes, and Lord.
That's why it's time.
Yes, all right. Let me get this phone call. Hello, caller. This is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, Bishop. This is me, Carla Cooks.
Oh, Sister Cooks, God bless you. How are you?
I'm making it. I know. One day at a time.
I know. We've been praying for you, and we've been lifting you up in your hours of bereavement. But God got you, daughter. God got you.
Yes.
God's got you.
And I thank the Lord for it.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for you and your beautiful wife. Y'all prayers, it really gives me strength, knowing that people are praying for me because, you know, it hit me.
Yes.
I can't do nothing. I pray and ask God to help me.
Yes.
Because it's a fight. It's a fight mentally.
Yes.
More than just spiritually as well.
Yes.
You know, because when it happened, I was praying, and, you know, the enemy came in and said, oh, your son is dead. You still praying, you know?
Jesus.
And I shook my hand. I'm like, Lord, help me.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And so it's a fight, but I know God is gonna see me through it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell y'all what y'all doing is very well appreciated and needed.
Yes.
In today's society, and I truly thank y'all.
God bless
for
you.
Everything.
Amen. What's the least we could do? We wasn't able to be down there at the services to hug you, but you know we love you with the love of the Lord. And as I said before, whatever we can do to assist God's people, that's where our heart is at.
Amen. Just keep me in your prayers. Keep me and my family.
Okay.
In your prayers.
All right. Before you go, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sister Carla. And, Lord, even the tenderness of bereavement that she's going through right now, Lord, we know your touch, only your touch can take the sting out of what she's feeling. But we touch and agree now, Lord God, that you will just make the transition easy for her. And, Father, that she will learn to realize that, Lord, you're perfect in what you allow. And we know the enemy is defeated regardless. Lord, even the joy that she once had, restore unto her the peace. And Lord, let her have sweet sleep. Let her sleep return unto her sweet in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that it is done for your glory in Jesus' name. I'm out of time, y'all. I got to go, but I love y'all in the love of the Lord. Amen. So,
amen.
Lady Townsend, any closing words?
Well, you said just thank God and continue to pray for one another and love and witness and encourage, uplift.
Amen. All right, y'all. I got to go. I'm out of town. God bless you, Facebook, and I'll catch y'all again next week in Jesus' name. We're going to be at 1400 College Drive tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. And again, we will be at prayer at 12 o'clock noon every day through the week. You are more than welcome to join us at 1400 College Drive. God bless.
We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again.